In the collect of today's Mass of Ash Wednesday, we beg for this grace, so to begin this venerable fast with becoming piety. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you ready, then? Have you prepared your heart to honor the Sacred Heart this Lent? Your good resolutions, are you ready so that you may lay them upon the paten, pour them into the chalice of the sacrifice of the first Mass of this Lent, uniting whatever you will give, little though that be, in union with the all which our Lord gives upon the altar at this and every Holy Mass. On Sunday afternoon, after the Masses, and we had had something to eat, Father Thielen asked me if he could borrow a certain book from the little priest's library we have down in the hallway outside our offices. It's a rather serious book, Progress in Mental Prayer by Father Lean, but he's an excellent author. And I said that, of course, Father was very welcome to take the book with him. Now, do any of you know why Father would be specifically looking for a book before the beginning of Lent? Why, it is because that is an ancient custom that religious clergy, and the faithful too, should choose one book at least to read during this holy season of Lent. This custom and rule goes back to the holy rule of Saint Benedict, which, as you may know, is one of the great anchors of Christendom, of Western civilization. Saint Benedict, by this rule and his monasteries throughout all of Europe, was able to take the barbarian nations, Christianize them, and mold them into Catholics, for that Christian civilization that has endured more or less until our own day, when now, sadly, we see its collapse everywhere. But in this holy rule, Saint Benedict writes, "In these days of Lent, let each monk receive a book from the library, which they shall read through consecutively. Let these books be given out at the beginning of Lent." And it's interesting what he says afterwards to make sure that the monks will read the books. "But one or two senior monks should certainly be deputed to go round the monastery at the times when the brethren are occupied in reading, to see that there be no slothful brother who spends his time in idleness or gossip and neglects the reading, so that he not only does himself harm, but also disturbs others. If there be such a one, which God forbid, let him be corrected once and a second time. If he do not amend, let him undergo the punishment of the rule, so that the rest may be afraid, and the brethren should not associate with one another at unseasonable hours." The rule of Saint Benedict, a bit about how monks began their Lent. It is important. I was telling the children from our school this morning at the morning Mass, it is so important that reading be a major part of our lives, not just for children to read because they have to in class, because they are in school, but as Saint Benedict demonstrates with the business of passing out from the library a book each Lent to each one of the brethren, it is something that should accompany us our whole lives long. Reading. Reading is the key. It is the key to knowledge, supernatural as well as natural. Knowledge for the mind, but knowledge as well for the heart and for the immortal soul. In the old days, we used to be warned, and rightly so, by parents, by teachers, and sometimes the priest in the pulpit or in Catholic publications, to watch out for bad reading. You know, the kind of trashy thing you see in a romance novel or those publications they have for your inconvenience at the checkouts line of the supermarket, that type of thing. And then, of course, there is far, far worse than that, unfortunately, which is readily available today. And the saying is a bit harsh, but it makes perfect sense. Garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage into your mind, why, you are going to be saying and thinking and acting garbage in your lives. But now we face a second, very severe problem with the collapse of civilization, with the new barbarianism all about us today. So many people have no books. If they learned to read once, you wouldn't know it. They've forgotten the art. And people don't even think of reading anymore. We watch television. We watch movies. We play video games, the Game Boy, and the rest of it. But to read a book in my spare time? Not if I could help it. Thank you very much. How sad that is. And I say how sad because for those who cannot or will not read and read good books, it is a world of closed doors, of locked cabinets, of secrets that will never be uncovered, that will remain like some pharaoh's treasure lost in the sands of your life. How sad that is. Saint Athanasius is a great hero in his own right for us. Remember, he is one of the few bishops who kept the Orthodox or the true faith in the 4th century that our Lord was divine, when everyone else, as today, went into heresy. Busy as he was, often being sent into exile or running away from the soldiers who had come to arrest him, busy as he was, St. Athanasius took time to write a book. Back then, there weren't any computers, so writing a book was an elaborate task. A book of the life of the first monk, whom he knew personally, St. Anthony of Egypt. And that biography became extremely popular. Mind you, people had to copy it out by hand, but they did. Everybody wanted to read that. And in addition to that, they had the Bible in the first place, the sacred scriptures. Those monks of St. Anthony in the desert, for their training, had to learn the entire Psalter, the 150 Psalms of David, by heart, because that's the church's essential prayer book. And when they had their copy all learned by heart, they passed the book on to someone else, because they were so precious. The thing to do was just to memorize the whole thing. Although it was a difficult matter to be able to get a hold of a book, they were very expensive, St. Athanasius cuts no slack. What would he say about us today when books are available for free, the best books in the world? You could borrow them and read them, or a few dollars in the bookstore. You will not see, St. Athanasius writes, anyone who is really striving after his advancement who is not given to spiritual reading. And to him who neglects it, the fact will soon be observed in his progress. What about us? We want to make progress, don't we? That's why we've come to church this afternoon, to make a good start to our Lent. Are we truly striving, as we will pray in the collect of today's Mass, to begin this Lent with becoming devotion or piety? Surely a major part of that, in addition to prayers, I mean, and devotions and Mass and communion and confession and rosary, is to do some reading. Choose a book, all of you, won't you? Many of you have quite a few good books. You've never quite got around to reading at home. What should you choose? For most people, for starting, it should be the life of a saint which you could get into, which you would find interesting. Now, I always say there's no sense staying with a book if you don't understand it, if it makes you fall asleep, if it's above your head, you feel, and it's just a penance. Don't read for a penance. Read as a discipline, but the idea of reading a book, the idea of finding it, pray to find a good book. Pray to St. Anthony to find the right book for you. Shop around a bit. Don't settle until you've settled on something that's really interesting and good. You should feel about your book. See, I'm presuming you're all going to have a book this Lent. You should feel about your book the way Bob the Barber, remember my friend in Sharonville cuts my hair. Bob the Barber was telling me just last week, he was reading a book, he was very anxious to talk about it as he was cutting my hair. And he said, Bishop, he said, this book is so interesting, I can barely put it down to cut the next head of hair that comes into this shop. What's the book? Of all things, it's the Warren Report about the assassination of Kennedy. I don't think I would find that quite so interesting myself, but Bob does, and he can't put it down, and that's the point, to have that kind of a book that's so interesting. You learn so much. What's going to happen next and all the rest of it that you want to read the book? Who knows? For some of you who need it, that may provide a little fodder against the terrible temptation of television and of Game Boys and all the rest of it these days. You think, I could be reading that book, yeah. And why not? Let me get that book out. I've asked our school students today what I will ask our catechism students come Sunday for all of our young people, all of our of the student age, grade school or high school. Please, as you did last year, and I appreciated them, they were well written and interesting, give me, at the end of Lent, during Holy Week, give me a book report, even just a little one is fine, of the book that you read. So let me, the bishop, know, your pastor, know what book you, my flock, all of you dear children, have read. Will you do that for me? Now, you can add that to your list of resolutions. It may be that some of you, I doubt it, but you never know. Some of you may have come into church without a really well-formed resolution of what to do for Lent extra, what to give up. Your list may be a little short. Your sacrifices may be a little thin so far. But add a book and even a book report to it. And now we're talking something a little bit more serious. But you know what? I don't want to ask you to read just one book. Father Cicada sometimes accuses me of upping the ante. I think that's a phrase from poker, and I don't know too much about poker. But the idea is that you're not satisfied with just one when you could probably push it for two. There's a second book that I want all of you to read this Lent. It's the same book for everyone, but you all will get something different out of this book. You'll all appreciate it in some different way. What book am I talking about? It is a book which was written with the iron pencil of the lance and of the sharp nails. Who's the author of this book? The Holy Ghost. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. To whom was this book dedicated? To all of the children of men, to the whole of the human race. Who dictated word for word in eternity before time was this book? God the Father, who produced the Word from all eternity. Now, the cover of this book may be different, depending on which volume you choose. It is the sacred humanity of Christ. Some covers have a very sorrowful picture, like the Holy Face. Others have a very beautiful and glorious picture, like the Sacred Heart. The ink in which this book is printed is purple, with the price of His precious blood. And the letters, every letter that you will find in your book is just as numerous as are the wounds and the blows and the scars which our Savior received in His bitter passion. The illustrations are fascinating. Do you ever do this when you get a book? You check out the illustrations first. I always do that. And sometimes the illustrations are so interesting, you want to just stay with them for a while before you even start the actual text of the book. These illustrations tempt you. They invite you. They inspire you to spend a long time lovingly going over the pictures before you ever get to the text. On what is this book written? This book is printed on the precious vellum of the Lamb of God himself. This book was printed on Golgotha at Calvary under the fierce pressure of the Passion. That's how the printing press operated. And this book is opened and is read in public on the pulpit of the cross, the Sacred Heart pierced by lance for us, opened for us sinners. This is the book that I want all of you to read, the book of Jesus on the cross, the book of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. St. Lawrence Justinian says, God opened this book publicly that all might read therein. And St. John Chrysostom says, everyone can read this book. You may be learned, you may be a reader, and then again, you may not be. When we contemplate him on the cross, he devoutly teaches us more for our salvation than countless books of theology. St. John says that. And we could add to that than countless articles of controversy today. St. Bernard of Clairvaux says, this is my highest philosophy, to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, how do you read your book? To read this book, you may use a prayer book. To read this book, you may use some little leaflet of prayers. To read this book, you may use your rosary beads. To read this book, you may read many, many books about the Sacred Heart or the Passion of our Lord, the Gospels themselves. But the unusual thing about this second book I'm asking you to read this Lent is that when you are weary, you can close the book and just look at the crucifix or look at the Sacred Heart, see the thorns that encircle it, the fire of God's love that bursts out from it and burns there, and the cross which surmounts it. You can even read this book with your eyes closed, just to see Christ in your imagination. Remember this. When you pray, that is you talking to our Lord. When you read, that's why you must read slowly. Don't read to get it over with. That's a big mistake. When you read, that is you listening to our Lord, who is now doing the talking. The other day we had the feast day of the founders of the First Order of the Sorrows of Mary, called the Seven Servites. This order in the Middle Ages almost died out, and it was refounded. Its second founder was St. Philip Benizi, second founder of the Servite Order, a great preacher and teacher in his own right, this friar was. When he was dying, his feast is kept in August. When he was dying, he asked one of the brethren at his deathbed, he said, give me my book. Give me my book. The book, what book does he want? So they got him, the priest's prayer book, which is the church's official prayer book, the breviary or the divine office. No, no, that's not. Give me my book. So then they brought him the Sacred Bible itself. No, give me my book. And then they looked on the shelf for what might be perhaps his favorite well-thumbed book of spiritual reading. And they offered several, but none of them would do. Finally, with all of his strength, he raised himself up, and with a trembling arm, he pointed to the crucifix on the wall
of his room. Give me my book. And so they got the crucifix down and they cradled it in his arms. And he said, ah, yes, this is my book. And he kissed it. And with that, his soul left his body and went to heaven. Read this Lent, won't you? Read, all of you. But most of all, and especially when you're weary, read this other and best of all books. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.